the Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 753. It's the 7th of April, 2017. On the podcast today, I've got to say, it's quite a short one today. Many of you may have noticed I'm sounding a bit rough. I have done for the last 9 days. It's man flu. It's probably the worst strain ever of any flu, and I know lots of people will not have experienced this, especially the female part of the population. But I've managed to get a doctor's appointment after 9 days, and so I'm off. And so I've got to go cut the podcast short. But having said that, if there's only one guest I need to have on a podcast, it is today's guest, and it's Russ Mould, the man that has a brain that envelops macro, micro, everything. And we talk a lot of macro, and we also talk about some stocks as well. We cover Traxys, Watkins Jones, and Hurricane Energy. Plus, I also have, of course, as usual, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and also the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the new feature, who to follow on Vox Markets. It's a CEO of a tech company. They had some news out today, and that CEO is active on Vox Markets, and I'll put the link to that on the blog page. So go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see who it is, and I'll reveal who it is in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. Russ, thanks for joining me, fella.
It's a pleasure, not at all. How are you, mate? You all right? Sound a bit snotty still.
Oh, I'm still... do you know what? This man flu is unbelievable. And, of course, lady folk will not know what it's like, but...
No.
But it's been dragging on for 9-10 days. I've never had anything as long as this. Drag on as long.
It does sound very unpleasant. You sound like a buffalo breathing with an aqua lung.
Yeah. That's a disservice to a buffalo with an aqua lung.
No disrespect intended.
And, do you know what? I called a doctor yesterday. First, I very rarely call a doctor, and I thought, this is going to be a record on their books, and I spoke to them and said, yes, this viral thing is going around. Some people are showing symptoms after a month. I thought, a month? I can't deal with a month. I've done barely 2 weeks, and I'm really suffering with lack of sleep. So,
yes, I don't envy you that. Anyway, I wish you a speedy recovery.
Yes, anyway, so I woke up this morning and so saw the old Trump saying he's, attacks on a military field in Syria, and part of me thought, I'm glad someone's taking a bit of action against these atrocities, apart from lip service, because everyone's just saying, yes, we know. But whenever we see these horrific scenes in Syria, all you get is sort of, leaders or people around the world saying, yes, we don't condone this at all, it's horrendous. And that's all you do. And when you get someone like, I don't know who's doing it, who the actual bad people are in this scenario, but a part of me thinks, if they're playing illegally, and I thought Russia today came out and said, US has conducted an illegal airstrike. I thought, well, yeah, but Assad doesn't care about the rules. And he's been talked to and asked several times, millions of times, stop doing what he's doing. He doesn't care about rules. And sometimes a big thug needs a punch in the eye, Say, listen, mate,
He's certainly got one of those. I mean, it's interesting in that Trump had previously said to Obama on several occasions, don't attack Syria. There's no gain to be had, politically. So it's intriguing that he's changed his views now he's in office. I mean, looking at it through the very, very narrow prism of the financial markets, when, as you've just said, there are far bigger considerations at work. Mm-hmm. You've seen all the usual sort of knee-jerk reactions, gold up, oil up, stocks kind of flat to down, and bonds up. But that's all fairly minor stuff compared to, as you said, the humanitarian story that's developing there.
Yeah. So, and on a macro level, any news out around macro? Because I feel, I don't know whether it's Easter, but I feel it's like a bit quiet at the moment in the markets,
It's uncannily quiet. I mean, I did the maths this week, and we've had two moves in the FTSE 100 this year of 1% or more in a day, open to close. Now, by this stage last year, we'd had over 30. So it is, I mean, it's like a becalmed pond at the minute. Yeah. Though in some ways, you'd actually say it's not a bad thing. I know the market's not exactly tearing up trees, but it's a little bit up on the year. And generally, if you look at history, markets do well when things are quiet, and find it an awful lot harder when things are very, very volatile. And we just done a piece this week looking at sort of five tried and trusted indicators which tend to help your guests work out whether the market is still looking healthy or whether it's looking a bit overcooked or whether it's just looking downright outright cheap. And I would say at the moment that of those five indicators, two look okay and three are kind of flashing amber. So, you know, there's a little bit, you've got to be a little bit careful. And in some ways, the volatility is the first one. There's very little, normally a healthy sign. Mm-hmm. The other positive feature is that with the FTSE All Share offering a dividend yield of around 3.5% and the 10-year gilt yield having collapsed all the way back down to nearly 1%, that 2.5% premium yield is historically extremely high, and you know, probably is one of the reasons why the market is getting good support right now, even if it isn't, you know, motoring up. So they're the positives.
Yeah.
The things that you would slightly worry about: the transport indices have rolled over, particularly in the US, and where the Dow transports goes, the Dow Jones industrials tend to follow, because if things aren't being shipped, then things aren't being sold. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on those planes, trains and automobiles. In the UK, it's just flattened off and is actually no higher than it was last August. So again, you've got to keep an eye on the transports. The next one is small caps. The FTSE small cap is still doing really well, which is great. But the Russell 2000 in the US is down 6% from its top now. So that one's just come off, a little bit as well. And the third one is Dr. Copper, that great barometer of global economic health. You know, he's just come a little bit off the top. He's down around 5% from his peak. Now, that may be due to the resolution of the mine strike in Chile, yeah, rather than anything fundamentally to do with demand. But again, copper's just looking a little bit soggy. So there are three sort of amber signals for markets right now against two green lights. And that may be why, you know, the market isn't, you know, going through the floor, but it's certainly finding it pretty hard to make profound progress at the moment.
Yeah, but isn't April traditionally quite a strong month?
You know, it is. Mathematically, it's one of the better months of the year. I know that in, you know, T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, he said that April was the cruelest month, but in stock market terms, it's generally quite a good one. I mean, we've got, you know, a Federal Reserve meeting coming up May the 3rd. That's going to be the next big stepping stones. There's no expectation of a rate rise there. But you do have the June meeting where the market now thinks there's a 55% chance of the fourth rate rise. You know, there is the old saying, three steps and a stumble. After three Fed rate rises, the U.S. equity market is historically paddled sideways for roughly a year. So right now it's sticking fairly true to form. And you've obviously got the Federal Reserve minutes from earlier on this week when the Fed even talks about starting to reduce, to sterilize QE and actually start to, you know, let its bond portfolio mature, not buy new bonds and shrink its balance sheet. Bulls of the U.S. economy and stock market will say, fantastic, shows you that QE worked, shows you that unorthodox monetary policy has worked, because the Fed can now withdraw because the U.S. economy is strong enough and corporate earnings are strong enough. Bears will say, rhubarb, rhubarb, the U.S. stock market's only got to where it is because of artificially cheap money, because of QE. You can actually draw a chart of the Fed's balance sheet against the S&P 500, and they've pretty much moved in lockstep since 2009. So if the Fed does start to withdraw this stimulus, it will be a really big test for the US economy, really big test for the stock market, and it'll be fascinating to see how it works out, particularly when the US on things like market cap to GDP and the Shiller cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio is pretty much near all-time high valuation levels. So that's not Trump's fault, but he has inherited an 8 to 9 year bull market where expectations are pretty high. You are going to need to see corporate earnings accelerate to support the US market from here. And that all kicks off, I think, next Thursday with results from the big banks, Citigroup, JP Morgan and Wells Fargo. So that's going to start the US corporate earnings season off on something like the 13th or 14th.
Yeah. OK, well, let's look at some individual stocks. And first one you looked at is Traxys.
What's that?
I've heard a bit about Traxys. I've never really done any research on it, but I'm aware of it. And is the right company? Have they sort of had a couple of profit warnings of late?
This is what we're going to look at. In fact, I mean, the share price chart was looking really pretty smooth until February when, you know, if you'll pardon me, I mean, it's a software and analytics company for rail transport and traffic. So if you'll pardon the expression, the stock hit the buffers in February after a very disappointing trading update.
Yeah.
Company blamed that on the timing of certain contracts and some seasonality in its business. It acquired a business in 2015 called SEP, which provides traffic and flow management for events like Grand Prix at Silverstone or Glastonbury, mm-hmm. which, let's face it, is going to be seasonal because they tend to happen in the summer.
Yeah.
The business last year was very second half weighted, so, you know, let's not get too worried about that. But there were some delays in some big rail contracts that they were hoping to win. We've now seen the Department of Transport award the Southwestern franchise to First Group at the expense of Stagecoach. So maybe now the Department of Transport's got that done, it'll start handing out some of these big rail software contracts for capacity planning, where Traxys has historically been so strong. So that, I think, is a potential catalyst. Yes, you've definitely had a stumble in the stock, but if this year pans out like last year did, with SEP coming on strong in the second half, and then the DOT pulls its finger out, then you may start to see, you know, a much improved performance in the second half of the year and beyond. There's also the potential for overseas contracts, particularly in the US. So it's a company with a good competitive position, smart infrastructure in areas where, frankly, we need it. As a commuter, I can tell you how much we need more capacity on the rail network, and some of the software that these guys provide actually helps to do that. And so it's an intriguingly positioned company with good technology, a good market position, a net cash balance sheet, so it can weather the odd short-term storm, and the share price is bang in the middle of its 12-month range at, you know, sort of 425p. There's no dividend yield to speak of. But if there is a niggle, valuation's not the cheapest, in the high teens on a price-earnings basis. But again, you're probably paying for the fact that it's a well-run, well-financed, profitable company, and it's got some fairly serious shareholders on its list: the Unicorn, Lion Trust, Hargreaves Hale, some real small-cap experts who really do know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, and if you look at the chart, you can see exactly where that profit warning started. I mean, it's just
stands out like a beacon, doesn't
it? Dropped on the 13th I think, of February, and then four massive down days took it from £5 down to £3.40. So it dropped off a cliff there, really did. Yeah. Okay, what's the next stock, Russ?
Well, just a couple of updates on things that we've mentioned before. The first one is Watkin Jones, which is the student accommodation builder.
Yeah.
I mean, since we first flagged it, I mean, we've had a couple of pieces of news. The first one is a pre-close trading statement where boss Mark Watkins Jones said that the first half figures will be in line with expectations. They've pre-sold or sold or have under offer 16 developments now. So there's terrific visibility for the earnings out to September 2019. And they've got planning consent for that's 5,700 beds sort of pre-sold. They've got another 9,000 consented. Their first venture into the private rented sector, they're working on that now, and it's going quite well. So a reassuring set of a statement on a first half numbers. The actual figures are due on the 1st of June. The second bit of news was, I mean, one of the reasons why we first discussed this stock was, you know, I like family-owned companies. Yeah. I know some people think, hang on a minute, just because his name is Watkins Jones doesn't mean he's the best person to run the company. You know, you might be just doing it because he's there rather than because he's useful. But Mark Watkins Jones is ninth generation CEO of the company. But what we did see was the company actually sold some stock. They and the chief financial officer nipped out about a 20% stake in the company worth 70 million quid. They've still got a 30% stake, and they said they did it to meet demand from investors to provide liquidity in the stock. You know, they placed those shares at 140p, so they did dip, but they've bounced back to 150-odd p, partly helped by that reassuring trading statement, and partly helped by the fact that of those shares that they placed, half of that block was picked up by a chap called Woodford, with whom some of the listeners may be familiar. Yeah. So I suspect he's done that for his new income fund. So I think that's probably offered a little bit of reinsurance. And in the end, you've got a net cash balance sheet, stock on a forward PE of 11 with a 4% dividend yield and good visibility. It still looks to be an interestingly priced stock. I guess obviously the bear case rests on if as and when Brexit happens, does it mean that there are fewer overseas students coming to the UK? Could that put the clamps on some of the growth? That is still a bit of an issue that needs to be addressed. Mr. Watkins Jones doesn't think so. Let's see what happens, but that is probably one of the challenges. But right now, you've got a lowly valuation, decent yield, sensibly run company with a, you know, pretty powerful backer involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you know what? I went to a funeral last Friday.
I know, I remember you saying,
And I was chatting to an uncle of mine, I think, and he's dabbled in stocks and shares, but now he's quite passive. And he said, "Yeah, I've just put all my money into Woodford," you know. And you understand why these guys attract so much money, because, you know, when you are a top of your game, I suppose, you know, the passive investor will just automatically just, yes, I'll invest in him. You know, it's like anything, isn't it? You know, and you see why it does so well, I suppose. Well, inflows of money when you attract that kind of attention, you know.
And also, you know, Neil, you know, Woodford doesn't churn his portfolio, so he doesn't run up excess bills. Mm. The new funds that he's launched, you know, there are no fees kick in until performance with patient capital, no fees kick in at all until performance hits a certain level. And he's a patient guy. Yes, you have to be patient. Yes, you have to be long term. But if that's, you know, that's the way, frankly, investing should be done. And, you know, Woodford's track record suggests that he can make that a success. I know he's been in the news this week because Allied Mines looks to have gone quite badly wrong. CEOs left, new CEOs come in. Seven of their investments look like they're going to be serially restructured or shut down, and the stock's taken a big book value hit. And so Woodford has definitely taken his licks in Allied Mines. Yeah. You know, even the best get things wrong. But, you know, his long-term record is still very, very hard to argue with. And ultimately, one of his key attractions is he's patient and he keeps costs low. And one of the purest forms of alpha is keeping your costs down.
Yeah, exactly. And, I often say that. I've had people ask me, and I said, well, it's one of the things you should look at is the cost of management. Because I think there's some kind of quote like saying, you know, some of the best fund managers outperform the market by 2%, 3%. But, yeah, they charge that in fees, you know, or they can do. So it's pointless. Yeah. Anyway, OK. Let's go on to the last stock you're looking at. Russ, what is it?
Hurricane Energy. You know, we talked about this one a while ago. I mean, just in late March, just to give an update. I mean, obviously, the oil prices spiked back to $55 a barrel today on Brent because of the Syrian situation that you discussed earlier. It got down to 50, so that's a little bit of help for overall sentiment towards the oilies. But more specifically on this 686 million cap stock now, so maybe, you know, small to mid. In late March, it announced the discovery west of the Shetlands on the Halifax well. That's in addition to Lancaster. And there's even a possibility, looking at, according to the geological report, that the hydrocarbons may actually be linked in those two fields, which would make it a massive find if so. Now, there's still a long way to go. This is definitely not for widows and orphans. It is high octane, again, if you'll pardon the expression, stuff, because the company isn't producing yet. It's got no crude, it's got no revenues. In the end, if it is a massive find, it's going to need some funding from somewhere. So you are looking at a potential farm out deal. You may see that on Lancaster this summer, which may help, you know, give a valuation on the field, and that have implications for the share price. And also, they've still got to prove that the sort of technology they use, these sort of fractured basement reservoir finds, they're unproven in British waters, even though they've been done in Vietnam and Libya and one or two other places. So there are still lots of ifs, buts, ands and maybes. But for the risk tolerant investor who's, you know, prepared to, you know, get involved and be aware of the fact that things could go quite seriously wrong and there could be severe capital loss here in exchange for the potential of substantial potential capital gain, you know, the geological work looks good, the early drilling is good, it'll be down to the farm out, I think, in the summer to help set a valuation for the stock going forward. But the short-term news flow, at least in terms of what they're finding, will certainly keep, you know, driller thrillers potentially very interested.
Yeah, I've had the guys on the podcast quite a few times from Hurricane, and I've also had Malcolm Graham Wood, who's all in Gas Sector Authority, guy who's and a couple of times I went to press the buy button here at lower levels, and I stopped a couple of times, and it's kept rising. And
it's trickling things, high. Yeah,
it's one of those things.
60p now.
Yeah, I know. And when I first started looking at it, I think it was around about 28 pence or something like that, and it did a placing then, and it dipped below the placing price. I thought, I may get in there, and I didn't, just put it off. And every time I look, it's going higher and higher. And I think, But hopefully I'm going to get one of the guys. They should have been on last week or this week. But hopefully one of the guys there, I think the CFO, is going to come on the podcast from Hurricane next week. So
we'll
have a chat about
that. See what
he's
got to say. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Russ. Have a nice weekend.
Not at all.
Speak
get
next
rid
week.
Of that nasty virus and speak to you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Always there. Ascent Resources, AST. At four, Sorica Energy, SQZ. At three, Infinity Energy, INFT. At two, it's had a breakout. It's been a while, and their clinical stage three, Revive One results are due out very soon. So I think it's rising on anticipation of that. It's Motif Bio, MTFB. And number one, and the main man, John Zorbas, did a sort of presentation yesterday with Momentous Events, and it's of URU Metals. Ticker there is URU, most followed company in the last 24 hours. Here are the RNSs that were most liked in the last 24 hours. At five, YOLO Leisure and Entertainment, out yesterday afternoon. Update on investment. And in fact, they invested into Audio Boom. I think about 50 grand more on the subscription there. At four, Hurricane Energy, HUR. We discussed those with Russ just earlier on. Publication of presentation. You can see that on their page at Vox. At three, Audio Boom, additional subscription to raise a further £500,000, and that was via Institutional Investor. At two, 88 Energy, iSwine 2 permit to drill issued. And at number one, the most liked RNS in the last 24 hours was from URU Metals. Update, re-magnetite drill program at Zebedela. All right, who to follow on Vox Markets today? It is Rob Proctor, CEO of Audio Boom. He's on Vox there. And, hit him up, follow him. Hit him up for a chat. Ask him what's going on. So that's it. By the way, the link is there for that. But I think, essentially, for any person, it's voxmarkets.co.uk/members/RobProctor. so you get in there, okay? That's it for the podcast. Hopefully I'll be cured next time I'm on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.